Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back. I feel rusty, but in a good way, where like I was excited to do this.
Yeah. If you have never listened before, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We're deep diving every single episode of Grey's Anatomy. We are starting on a new season, season 13, episode 1 and 2, Undo and Catastrophe and The Cure. We took a little break after season 12. We needed to just take a hot second, get our lives in order. Both of us had a bunch of shit going on, but we're back. Mm-hmm. We're ready to discuss Grey's, and we're so happy that you have stuck around with us.
Yeah. And if you have been a longtime listener and you're looking in ways in how to support us, you can do so by going to our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or intending. There are things like our private Facebook group, which is really great, especially since the current Grey's season is happening right now. You also, once in a while, we do bonus episodes. We do Zoom hangouts with our $10 patrons. And in the past, we've had co-hosts. We are not trying to avoid you all. We love you very much. Schedules have just been really tight, so that's been hard. But as always, if you are a patron, you can send messages into our voicemail where we can hear them there. You can send us emails or messages through our Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. We'd love to hear your thoughts. But again, supporting us just means a lot to us. It's, you know, weirdly, not free to make a podcast. And so we appreciate you making sure that we can continue doing this. And also, we would love if you could leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen. That's really the best way for people to decide whether or not they're going to press play on us. And I just like our community so much that we've made, and it's all due to you sharing your thoughts about our show, and we love to read them.
Yeah, and I was going to say, kind of piggybacking on what you said about like calling and leaving a voicemail or whatever, if you are nervous to do that, because I feel like I would be really nervous, like you mentioned, you could send an email if you have like thoughts on an episode that you really want like the listeners to know. We can read it on the podcast, so you don't have to record yourself talking, although it can be kind of fun. You can also follow us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. We recently went live at a Halloween party.
Oh my God.
And I don't remember who watched it. Oh, I think it was the person who threw the Halloween party. She was like, I thought you guys were going to talk about something, but you just kept being like, there's no one here. There's no one here.
Yeah, we tend to go live after we've had maybe one or two alcoholic beverages.
Or and three at to that four. Point,
yeah, and at that point, we're just bored and looking for someone to talk to. Also, we both look dead, you more than me, because of your makeup.
Yeah, I mean, that was my costume, was just...
I mean that as a good thing.
Being yes. dead, so very Halloween of me. So yeah, follow us on Instagram, and you will see some random things once in a while. We also just wanted to let you all know that we are heading into the holidays. We're obviously not going to get season 13 done before the holiday, and we usually take a holiday break. So we're not going to take as long. Usually we take the month of December off, but we don't foresee us taking the full month off. But just know that there will probably be a little bit of a break over Christmas and New Year's, just so we can spend time with friends and family. So as you should also do.
Yes. I just realized I was talking way too close to my microphone. Bree and I feel like our lives have been like a hamster wheel. I feel like since you got married, do you feel that way?
Yeah. I feel
like you're back in grad school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I started like kind of another job. So I have two jobs. I'm in grad school. I have a podcast. we have a podcast. And then I just feel like also, I think there are 7 or 8 birthdays in November and December in my family. So, and we're big on birthdays. So everyone has like a birthday party that we do. And I just had a birthday, and which was really lovely and really fun. But like mine kind of kicks off birthdays. And actually this year, my nephew, his birthday is on the winter solstice, but they did a Halloween birthday party for him this year because his birthday kind of gets overlooked over Christmas. So he actually started the rollout of birthdays.
I love that.
So I just feel like every weekend it is something going on, and then like trying to keep up on like house stuff. Like our leaves were everywhere. Thank God John like raked and stuff, but all the leaves haven't fallen yet. But I was like, how do we manage this whole property? Like,
right.
Like,
I know today would have been a prime day for like leaf pickup, but a lot of ours haven't fallen yet.
Same.
And also I wasn't feeling that great today. And so I just like, it sucked because I was like, damn it, the day I'm going to end up doing it's going to be like sleeting and, yep, you know, terrible. Speaking of being busy, though, I have to just share something really cute. Whether you are an adult that likes books or you have kids, I bought a book at our local bookshop for myself on Sunday. It is a children's book. It is called, I think it's translated from another language originally, but it's called It's Okay, Slow Lizard. And yeah, it's translated from Korean. And so it's the cutest little illustrations, and it's about this slow lizard who he's like, I have a slow life. I get to help my friends. I get to look a lot of things. I get to blah, blah, blah. Like, and then he has a friend named like Anxious Bird, and Anxious Bird is really busy and like preparing. And then there's like Speedy Rabbit and Angry Elephant and all these things. And I don't want to like give it away too much, but I like cried because like he invites Anxious Bird to sit down and have tea with him, and all of Anxious Bird's stresses go away. But then at the end, like it's about to rain, and Anxious Bird is always prepared. And so like gets them, you know, like out of the rain. So it's like, here's your, you know, you're not your strength, your weakness essentially, but like also at some points it's a strength. And I bought it for myself. I was like, I need to read this every day.
Oh, that's really sweet.
So isn't we've it, been anxious birds.
Yeah, we have been. And isn't it just like, if you can try and find a balance, like sometimes it is okay to be preparing and be anxious. Like there are seasons, it can be
right.
Helpful. And like we're personalities, we're just, some of us are just lean more that way. And so like, I think that can be really frustrating too. Like, especially going in, I've been in like really intensive therapy for
I was just going to say, we're both also like, I feel like really in it in therapy right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I, just to give context, because I'll be pretty open and vulnerable, just with the fact that I have usually been going to therapy for the past couple years, like every 3 weeks. And 2 weeks ago, my therapist said, I think it's time we start going once a week again. And so we have been going once a week. And so I went last week and he was like, no, I thought it was going to be like a 2 week thing. He was like, no, like, unless it's like financially, you can't like, if that's not feasible for you, which luckily I'm very grateful that it is. I have really great insurance. So because of my husband, can you believe it? And so I understand that not everyone has access to that. So I'm very grateful. But I was kind of like, oh, like I thought this was just a 2 week thing, but you really, you meant it. Like, am I that messed up? But I think when you get into like, I just kept saying to him, I was like, I am in the muddy middle right now. And so I went on a long tangent to say that like, you can't change who like the core of you is, but you can like build on things and have new tools and have new outlooks. But like sometimes like, if you can harness your anxiety and use it in a beneficial way and it doesn't rule your life, like it's not an absolutely horrible thing, you know?
No, not at all. It's the cutest book. I can't wait. I was going to bring it to your house tonight if we were going to do this in person, but I will share it with you another time. But yeah, it's really, really precious.
That's really special.
I also feel like I just need to share as a 32-year-old woman who's turning 33 in March, that our bodies do not recover the same as they used to. I was a guest at a friend's wedding this weekend who our friend Derek, is this incredible DJ. I mean, like the kind of DJ where like, he's actually mixing the whole time. Like he's like legitimately so involved and he like has sets made up and like, that sounds like EDM. It's not that. It's like so good. But anyways, so like you can't leave the dance floor because you're like, oh, I'll go after this song. And then it's like another hit. Like somehow the King song from Hamilton was worked in. Like it was just so good. But anyways, I took off my shoes and I was wearing a dress that like I could be very mobile in. Mm-hmm. Like it was not restricting in any way. And the music was just like so much fun. I danced and then there was a really long section of like pop punk emo from like, you know, the early 2000s, like Ocean Avenue, Blink 182, like just like so much that I'm not even like digging the surface of like what there was a Dashboard song, which like, you're like, how does that work at a wedding? It just fucking does. And I headbanged like, and I did a lot of air guitar too, but like, I was headbanging and I felt great. I was barefoot. Me and my friend were pretending to be modern dancers. We were doing ridiculous shit. I think I threw my neck out. Like, I think, like, I feel like I was in a car accident.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I just don't headbang. If you are over the age of 30, unless you do it every day, don't do it.
You have no business doing that. No business. You need a little step, snap. That's my go-to move these days.
Yeah, so much jumping, like my feet ache. Actually, the bride though did say like, my goal is for all of our feet to turn to mashed potatoes. And I thought that was really funny.
That's cute.
She said that like over the mic to everyone and mine were twice baked. Mashed potatoes.
Oh, that's...
But yeah.
I mean, and you're... What are you, done with your friend wedding season?
Yes, the friend wedding season, which was yours, and then my friend Casey, and then this friend Jill. It is complete. I have witnessed three beautiful weddings, three beautiful marriages. I like the spouses of all of them, and I have three more weddings of my own to photograph, and then I get a little bit of a break.
We're almost there.
All right, let's just jump into the episode. Do you want me to read the monologue?
Yes, great.
Okay, great. First one is by Meredith Grey. It says, "Don't you wish you could just take it back? That thing you said, that thing you did, there's no undo button. There's only hoping we can learn. We can change, right? We can do better. We can't take back what we've done. We can't undo the past because the future keeps coming at us. Best to keep the past in the past. Move on, learn from it. We don't learn from our mistakes. We wind up locked into a future we never choose. The past is written. There's no changing it. What's done is done, but the future is ours to choose for better or worse." Meredith Grey.
And the second one, "As surgeons, we are our brother's keepers, ride or die, womb to tomb. We see each other's fears. We see the white knuckle panic our failure. We see ourselves. And who the hell likes looking at that? We walk through these doors as interns, chips on our shoulders, loners, lesser rock stars on the verge of greatness. We're thrown into the deep end together, told to save lives together, to save each other. We become family. And even when you really screw up, family is always there, always on call, womb to tomb, ride or die." Was that Meredith as well?
Yeah, it was. Sorry, I forgot to write that. All right, cool. Patient or shotgun workup. We have Andrew DeLuca, blunt trauma, zygomatic fracture, 8-ball hyphema, orbital floor fracture, fractured septum, clavicle fracture. We have Zach Thompson, appendicitis, renal artery thrombosis. We have April Kepner, wound therapy, and Patricia Phillips, brain tumor.
Just a reminder for rounds, we're doing them longer. So here we go. There's a few of them.
Yeah,
so
this one, Andrew DeLuca, good luck reading my writing. I'm sorry about this one.
I can't wait. Andrew DeLuca shows up to the ER in an ambulance with Karev. When all the surrounding doctors ask Alex what happens, he ignores their question and continues attempting to treat him. Alex's hand is badly damaged from beating DeLuca up, but the only person who seems to notice is Ben Warren and Meredith. Meredith and Richard go to Joe's apartment, where Meredith sees blood everywhere and realizes what happened. She confirms with Alex, but he says that DeLuca was on top of her and she was really drunk. Meredith checks DeLuca's scans to make sure they are clean and continues to update Alex on DeLuca's status. Ben Warren also suspects that it was Karev, but says to Meredith that it's not his job to report it. He says that he assumes that Alex reacted, and after Warren's last year, he understands how that can happen. Joe comes to the hospital and talks to DeLuca, asking him to make sure he keeps her secret, which was that she was married before. Yes, DeLuca gets upset at her, and at that same time, Alex comes into the room to try and say he is sorry to DeLuca and see if he can forgive him before the police find out. DeLuca gets very upset and screams at him. At about the same time, Meredith decides she has to tell Bailey, and Alex decides to turn himself into the police. He gets arrested and is handcuffed and is brought to the county jail. Meredith visits him later that night, and we learn that it could be 15 to 20 years in prison. We learn in the next episode that he was charged not with a misdemeanor, but as a felony assault.
Then we have this, these are a little bit in a weird order, but DeLuca comes back to work eventually. There's a time jump, and while in the elevator on his way to work, Meredith accidentally threatens him. She was just trying to explain to him that when she was also beat up, forgiving the person who did it to her was a part of her healing. DeLuca says that the same does not apply to him and that he doesn't appreciate her threatening him in this manner. Later that day, when Meredith has to take over for one of Karev's surgeries, she invites DeLuca to scrub in. DeLuca ends up witnessing Karev interacting with a patient.
Then we have, after Karev's arrest, Maggie is furious with Meredith for keeping a secret from her about Alex. Meredith tells her that she is sorry and that she will be a better sister and never again lie to her. At the same moment, Riggs comes to see Meredith at the house. After Maggie told her that she liked him, Meredith knows this is a problem. So she lies to Riggs and tells him that she does not have feelings for him.
Amelia decides to throw a housewarming party in an attempt to help Owen and Riggs become friends again. Owen asks Maggie and Meredith to come as buffers between them. Maggie is enthusiastic about this because she likes Riggs. And in a moment when Meredith has Riggs alone, she tells him that Maggie is going to ask him out and he needs to be nice, but to turn her down. He immediately starts acting weird towards Maggie, and the house party does not help. Owen and Nathan do not act like best friends. And at the end of the next workday, Maggie decides to ask Riggs out and he says no.
April and Catherine and the baby, who we learn has the name of Harriet, spend a lot of time in the hospital room together. Catherine thinks the baby is going to be named Catherine, and then also thinks that the baby should have Avery as the last name. April explains that the last name will be Kepner. When Jackson comes in at the end of the day, we learn that they will hyphenate, and it will be Harriet Kepner Avery. April has to stay in the hospital because of wound therapy on her incision. She cries a lot about how she won't be able to bond with her baby. And Jackson ends up bringing Harriet to the hospital so they can be together. When he leaves one day, he tells April that he thinks that she and Harriet should move in with him until she is healed. April is unsure about this and says they need boundaries, but she says she will think about it.
Then we have a patient named Zach who had a prior kidney transplant and was one of Alex's patients. 6 months post-transplant, he came into the ER with abdominal pain. Alex examined him and said he'd run tests. His kidney was healthy, but he had signs of appendicitis. Later, his heart rate increased, which worried Ben, but Alex thought it was just because Zach was nervous, as his heart rate increased every time he was in the hospital. He ignored all the signs because he was distracted. Shortly after that, Zach's pressure dropped, his appendix ruptured, and he was rushed into the surgery to remove it. After that surgery, he had a renal artery thrombosis and needed to be rushed back into surgery to remove the clot. Meredith performed the surgery with Bailey. Luckily, it was successful and he was able to keep his kidney. But because of this mistake, Alex is forced to work in the Denny Duquette clinic.
Which call out to that. Yeah. And then Joe feels like she has a scarlet letter placed on her and hates the attention toward her and how everyone has to take sides. She works with Amelia on neuro for one day and gets upset when Amelia names a tumor after a woman and talks about beating her up. It's unknown if she is upset because of the recent thing with DeLuca or if it's more of the idea of talking so lightly about beating up another woman now that we know her past with her abusive husband. Either way, Steph tries to help her and stays with her at her apartment.
Lots happening.
All right, first notes.
Mine is, wow, no time jump at all. We're back at Amelia and Owen's wedding.
Mine was, we start right back where we left off at Owen and Amelia's wedding. Look at us on the same page.
And I go, who are all of these guests? I feel like at the Gray's weddings, there's always all these people that I'm like, who are these people?
Oh my God. That was my second note. I always wonder who are all these random people at any of the Gray's weddings. That's really funny. And then there's my next one is Maggie's dancing with, oh wait, no. Maggie was dancing with Riggs.
Right.
But then, oh no, this is the note. There was a scene you could see in the background. Maggie was dancing with Richard, which was really sweet.
Oh yeah. Then they go sit down. And I love the like constant plot line that Richard's really good at dancing. Like, I feel like it's like a continued thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want to talk overall, maybe a bit about this episode. I feel like it's really heavy for a season opener.
Yeah, I would agree. I would also say, I'm just going to throw it out there. I was kind of bored. Like,
yeah, it's less exciting than I remember it be when I watched it the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's stressful and stuff, but like, I feel like the Karev and DeLuca stuff is like really stressful, but then like all the in-between stuff is kind of boring. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I also wonder in this rewatch too, if I'm going to realize that this Alex and DeLuca thing is actually solved quite quickly. I really remember thinking he was going to go to jail. I didn't remember the part that after he was not sentenced, but like, what's that called?
Arraigned?
Yeah, that he could still work.
Mm-hmm. I have some notes about that because, so he gets arrested. Obviously, he makes bail.
Uh-huh.
And so before he gets, I think it's an arraignment, right?
Yeah.
Or wait, no.
We are not Olivia Benson. It doesn't matter what we're.
Jesus. Yeah. But like, so then, I guess it's very confusing to me because he makes bail. Then he goes in to like hear his charges, which I think that's arraignment. And that's when they say if you, can like, isn't that though when you're like supposed
what
to post bail
are you
or
trying
not?
To say?
No, I'm just so confused because like there's a really long time. Like obviously he goes in, he turns himself in, and he gets out of jail, but then he's not charged yet. And then he goes in, and that is when they're like, bail's $2 million or whatever. And like you have to post. So how did he get out of jail in the first place? Before going and getting charged with something.
I do not I have could those be, answers for
I could
you.
Be... Okay, regardless, whatever. I'm confused by it. But I was surprised that he got to go back to work. Like, that
so
doesn't seem like something that Bailey would be okay with.
Right, which ultimately she does make the decision to put him in the clinic. But yeah, I was confused by that too. I felt like I just had to do the washover of like, this is not a legal show. Same with like, I feel like in any legal proceedings later in the show with like Meredith and all these things, they never really make sense.
With the part where Meredith walks in and she literally gets to see Karev in a cell, I'm like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no. Not at all. I was really... I don't know
but
why.
I guess Meredith does that with Derek too.
Yeah, it's the same set, I bet.
Sure.
I think this is one of those, it's like a complicated viewing experience where I'm not sorry for Alex. Like, he fucked up. Like, this is, I think this incident especially, I think is the one when people are like, I don't get how you like Alex so much. Like, he's a terrible person. And I think there are two things that I liked about it. I liked Ben's reaction to it of not getting involved by saying he reacted. I know what that's like, which again does not excuse it. But I liked Ben's take of just like, I just got fucked over by reacting and I really messed up. Like it's not my role at this point to like step in. I also like the reference that Alex makes and Bailey makes it too of he says something like, I thought I'd grown up. Like I thought this part of me was. He just says, I thought I grew up. And I feel like that I have empathy for that of like thinking you've made all these strides and then like a repeated pattern just happening again. And so I think, like, I just want to preface, I feel like people get mad at us if we're like, I feel so bad for Alex. I know he fucked up and is horrible. And that was like assault. I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel bad for him having to like serve his actions, like get consequences. But I do feel sad for this idea of, especially because I feel like he's so beaten down by it that like, he didn't actually grow. Like, he thought he had all this personal growth and he didn't. And all the times he talks about like his parents and like, this is what everyone did, you know, and growing up with me, that's the part that I get like really like empathy for, I guess. Like, watching him get arrested and like look at everyone as they walked out was very sad to me, even though he deserved it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I think it does. I mean, I think two things can be true. And yeah. I think Brené Brown talks about that a lot. And I think that pisses people off. But like, two things can be true at the same time.
Yes.
Like, assault is wrong and he did a bad thing. He also is a human being who came from a background of abuse and he fell into a pattern and he reacted in a way that, yes. So like, both of those things are true. And what happens then is that's really uncomfortable to sit with, because yes. There's not like some grand statement of like, it's black and white, what he did was wrong. Like, yes, that is what he did was wrong, but also in the context of who Alex is as a character, we can look deeper into that. So I think yes. That's pretty much what you were trying to say.
It's also just so, it's so frustrating. It's frustrating television to watch because of like, we know the true story of like why Joe couldn't marry Alex and why she was drunk and what she told DeLuca. But like, we, to watch them not communicate, you know what I mean? It's like, and like, she tries to talk to him and then he interrupts her. Like, that part, that's a part of television that I fucking can't stand, when you're just like, ah! You know, like, it's just hard.
And also, I don't know if this point really matters, but I guess I'm wondering your take on it. Do you think that, like, do you think that Karev thought that DeLuca was assaulting Joe, or that, like,
having sex?
Yes, or that they were engaging in consensual sex?
I feel like it could have just... I don't think he thought he was, like, raping or assaulting her. I think he thought... maybe taking advantage of drunk Joe. Do you know what I mean? But then he, you know, tries to backwalk it and like, you know, when you like try to come up with reasons for why you did something. So I feel like, but then ultimately like realizing that like that wasn't the case. But yeah, I think it's more just a pure fucking reaction.
I also think that it's really interesting because at one point, like, Meredith finds out and she says to Karev, like, I have to report you. Like, this is assault. And that is their duty as doctors.
Right.
Like, you take an oath. But it's interesting that Ben doesn't feel that way. And I know Meredith doesn't, but like, Meredith at least understands that she should, whereas Ben is like, well, I don't need to report this. It just makes me question, like, kind of Ben last season too. Like, I don't know that he's completely learned his lessons. Like, I get where he had empathy for Karev, but like, he really
maybe
should
because
be
it
like
was
a as
suspicion.
A
doctor. Maybe because it was just a suspicion, and for Meredith, it was she had confirmation, and so I feel like, you know what I mean. She had spoken to Alex, like, and versus Ben hadn't. Although I feel like Meredith sort of confirmed it to Ben, but initially Ben did not have actual confirmation. So I think he probably also just was like, I don't want to go with suspicions. Especially because he's not a resident or he's not an attendant. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that hierarchy is hard.
Yeah.
It's sad. And which is why I think, I don't know if it's this season or in the next season after that. I think it's like at least the next one or the one after that, where we learn more about Joe and like her patterns and like how, like, what she's dealing with is also that she is with someone who has similar tendencies as her husband, you know, like, mm-hmm. I feel like that is part of the struggle. I do wish that like, they, like, there's so many times where they try to talk and she like, doesn't say, and I just want her to say like, I was married, but I also get that she doesn't want Karev to know that because look how he reacts. It's so, it's honestly just very frustrating for me to watch this whole storyline.
Yeah. I think too, like, we need to, like, now that we know, we need to put into perspective that, like, Joe was a part of, like, she experienced intimate partner violence. And so it's, it makes a lot of sense that she wouldn't want to discuss that or disclose that. So by saying she was married means that she has to discuss her abuse.
True. Yes.
And so it's like really frustrating. Like, well, why wouldn't you just tell your partner? But like you just mentioned, like, he has a lot of similar tendencies. And also, like, that's not really how trauma works. Like,
right.
You don't want... Yeah. To, you know, you don't want your new partner to see you in a certain way, or maybe you haven't completely processed your trauma, or, you know, like, so I understand absolutely, like, as a viewer being frustrated with Joe, but I think it makes perfect sense that she does not want to disclose it.
Yes, absolutely. Which is why I think it's good writing, like, because it's truthful and how the situation actually is. What were we gonna say?
I think it's really interesting too, like watching Meredith talk to DeLuca in the elevator.
Yes,
and
I had
to think
about
that
this.
They end up being together.
Yes, which like that means their first interaction is her, like, even though she did it on accident, I feel like threatening him. And like, yeah. I can't believe they end up again. They were never my favorite couple together. I liked them as friends a lot better. But yeah, that was very surprising. I had a note on that.
Yeah, like I don't really remember how this gets resolved. I think DeLuca drops the charges. I'm sure yes. That's the only way that it would.
Meredith fucked up a lot in these two episodes in many ways.
Yeah, like she definitely for me does not get the Catherine Avery Award. Like
no, like I mean, I get being in a tough spot. Where, like, when her and Alex are, like, talking in the stairwell and she's trying to figure shit out. And obviously, yes, she wants there to be a reason because she does not want to think that her best friend did something this stupid. But the way that she goes about it and meddles and, yeah, like, says things to Joe, says things to DeLuca, it's just like, oh, Meredith, stay out of it.
Do you think that Meredith is a 6 on the Enneagram, that she's the loyalist?
That's a good question. Oh, that'd be a great bonus episode. I know you're not supposed to type people, but it would be fictional, so it'd be fine. I don't know. I have to think about that. I think she's an 8.
I feel like Bailey's an 8.
Bailey's a 1. Are you kidding me? Bailey's a 1.
But I feel like Meredith, like, she, like, is very fucking loyal to everyone, like, that if you've been in her life, like,
that's
she'll
true.
Go to the grave, she'll dig, like, pretty much, like, she'll dig a grave for you. Like, where are we gonna hide the body? Like,
that's true, she's loyal, but I don't see her having the tendencies of a 6 of, like, always worst case scenario and pre-planning for that.
She lays in bed and says, I feel like I'm gonna die today.
That's true. Part of her 8-ness, I feel like, or that I see, is her, like, being, like, protecting the underdog, like, feeling that it's her job and her responsibility to protect the underdog, and she will do that at the expense of how she treats other people, or, like, I don't know. We should deep dive this on our own and then do a bonus episode. That would be really fun.
That would be really fun. What does 6... I'm just curious.
Because there's two types of 6s.
Yeah.
I also feel like...
Oh, so 6 integrates into the direction of the 9 when they're healthy. I just wondered.
What about when they're in stress?
What does 6 Enneagram go to in stress?
I should know this. This is what Jake is.
Sixes...
Look for that picture with the arrows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Images. There we go. 6 into stress is into 3.
Okay, the achiever. That's interesting, too. Yeah.
Well, that could be because she's an achiever.
Yeah. Christina's a 3.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, if anyone's interested in the Enneagram, maybe someday we'll do a bonus episode.
That would be really fun. Maybe if any of you Enneagram experts, it'd be fun to have you on.
Yeah, but I just, like, She's just so loyal.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just so loyal to Alex in this moment. Like, he is family.
Yeah, she even says that. She says something about how he doesn't have family. Like, I'm his family.
Yes.
Like, when she's getting him ready and helps him tie the tie. I also think it's kind of like he did this for her, essentially. I mean, not because she was going to jail, but you know what I mean? Like, no matter what is there to support. So I feel like they are all each other has at this point in time.
Yeah.
I also felt like it was manipulative of Meredith to then ask DeLuca to scrub in on Zach's surgery, because I feel like she was doing that not as a learning experience for DeLuca. I mean, that was the disguise, but so that he could see Karev interact with this patient and feel like, oh, I should feel bad. This guy might never operate again because of me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I didn't really, yeah. I see what she was trying to do in the elevator by like bringing her own experience. And she even starts out by saying, yes, like, we're not that close, but like, I want you to know, like, I was assaulted. I'm sure you know that I was assaulted, and I didn't want to forgive the person, but like, you're Karev's best friend. It'd be different coming from like Bailey, you know?
Maybe not even Bailey. I liked how DeLuca was like, Karev was not in a fugue state. Like, this is not the same.
Yes. The line, I think there's a part two. I think she's maybe talking to Bailey, Meredith, and like, what about you? Is it blind loyalty? And then Meredith says, it's not blind. He's earned it. And so she talks about with Karev, like, how he's earned her loyalty over the years, and he's family. But like,
yes,
I think you can still, and Meredith does get to this at the end of the first episode, but I think you can still be loyal to someone and understand that there needs to be accountability, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's not, and I think she does realize that, like,
right, because she goes to Bailey.
I have to report this.
Yeah. I actually loved the moment where she tells him when he's in jail that she went to Bailey, and he's like, good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and she's like, you did it the right way. Like, I'm glad that it worked out this way. Because I also feel like he understands that. I mean, he fucking reported her when she messed up with the Alzheimer's trial. Like, there's something to be said about keeping your best friends accountable, you know?
Yes.
I also really like this line. I feel like it sums it up, that Bailey says to Alex. She says, you were the big surprise. You were most improved. The person that beat up DeLuca is someone I thought you left behind years ago. You're a good doctor. You're compassionate and you're good with people. And then she says, like, you're exactly what we need right now in the clinic. But I feel like you were the surprise. You were the most improved.
Yeah, totally. I think it's kind of like a slap in the face too, that he has to go work in the Denny Duquette.
Yes. Even now he says it.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't remember them calling back to that. Like, I felt like that just went away seasons ago. So I appreciated that still exists and we heard about it, you know?
Yes. Agreed. What about...
I want to touch briefly on Joe and Richard.
Yes, I was just thinking that.
You know, Meredith and Richard show up to Joe's apartment. She's a wreck, and obviously for good reason. And so Meredith leaves Richard with Joe, and she's like super embarrassed that Richard is there. And I love that she's like, I am drunk. Like, I'm not this person. I'm a surgeon. I want you to see me like when I'm a surgeon again. And he's like, you came to the right person pretty much. And he has this whole kind of monologue. But the thing that I loved, he said, with a little coffee in the sunlight, your troubles will get smaller and the world will keep standing.
Which
is so sweet about like, because Richard's an alcoholic. And so he's, you know, just putting a bit of wisdom into her that like, yes, you have troubles right now, but like, we're going to sober you up and we're going to deal with it. And like, the world's not going to end. So it's going to be okay.
I just loved that. Oh no, I'm sorry. I mean, I just think that, yeah, like coming from him, that just means so much, whether she knows that or not, that he can look past that. And like, I don't believe he's judging her for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he also doesn't let her leave.
No.
When she tries to pack up.
But then he's like making coffee or whatever and turns and she's gone. Of course, it's like, God damn it. But like, I feel like those are the people like that you want with you in your darkest moments. Yes. Are not the people who have like had their shit together their whole lives, but the people who've been in those dark moments too and been like, yep, I'm an addict, a recovering addict. I'm a fuck up. And like, I'm here to sit with you through it all, you know?
Yes. There's two references to like running away in this episode. Like Richard says to Joe when she's trying to leave the hospital, he says, you won't gain anything by quitting. We don't quit. I won't let you. And then later on, when Meredith is visiting Alex in the jail cell, it's not the same sentence, but she says, we're grownups, we can't run. Like it's kind of like running from your problems does not actually make them go away. And for both of these people, Joe and Alex, in different ways, like they have to sit in this.
Mm-hmm. Krev says some pretty shitty stuff to Joe.
Oh yeah, I know. I didn't take notes or I didn't get a chance to write it down, but it's not great.
I have a couple things where they end up seeing each other in the hospital. And these are just a couple lines. He says, you can't help it. It's not your fault. It's easy to throw people away. Like speaking about her, I wanted to marry you. I was asking you for something you're not capable of. I should have known better.
Mm. It's like extra horrible because we know why she can't get married. And, you know, but he doesn't, which doesn't make it okay. But it's just like, again, it's that complication of like this whole, it's a much more complex situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. Also, I thought it was nice that Stephanie trades her shift so that Wilson doesn't have to work with Krev, which I can't even believe that'd be a fucking possibility that they would like put the two of them together. Anyways.
I know.
I love that. She does that. And then, I don't know, what did you think? Do you think that she was upset about the woman calling her, you know, talking about being the shit out of her tumor, Wilma or whatever they were calling it, the bitch is going down? Do you think it was because of the recent beat up? Or do you think it's because of talking about using a woman's name and talking about beating her up?
That's interesting. I mean, I think it could be either context, but I think as a viewer, I think you're supposed to think about it as like DeLuca and Alex. Because I think that's on the forefront of her mind of like assault in that way. That's just my take.
For sure.
Well, I was going to say one other thing about Joe, I think. Oh, I do think it's really sweet that Steph comes to her house with her and like,
yes.
Is like, asks, you know, do you want me to stay? And she's like, no, you can leave. And she puts her bag down and stays, like knowing that she's probably not okay. I just want to reiterate one more time. I do not understand how Karev is not at least suspended. Like right, there have been either. Like lesser things that have happened that people and like have been suspended with pay or without pay and not been able to work in the hospital. I'm very, very confused why he's allowed to be in the hospital.
Yeah. If you know the answer to that, let us know. Cause I'm also confused.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears maybe and talk quick about there's not much about, okay. Like again, we're going to talk about Meredith's way of handling the rigs.
Situation. Didn't say that. We didn't discuss our post-op. We did?
Yeah, I think I said it, or I was about to, and then something happened. I don't know. Post-op, we're talking about Meredith's way of reacting to the rigs Maggie situation. But mm-hmm. I just want to say on that topic that, first of all, I feel so sad for Maggie because like having a crush on someone and thinking that it's going well and whatever is just like heartbreaking. I love though when she comes into the housewarming party and Amelia goes, I'm casual. You look hot. And she goes, your butt looks like an apple. Like I just loved, I would love someone to tell me my butt looks like an apple.
Yes. Yeah. And she did. She did look very hot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, just like Amelia's throwing a housewarming party. It's weird. It's weird because I'm like, oh yeah, Amelia's living with Owen now. Duh.
Yeah,
like
super
they're
weird.
Married. Like, but I just, you know, think of them living at, you know, the Gray house.
The trailer. Oh, yeah,
no.
Yeah.
No, I think about her living with her sisters. And then even during the COVID season, you know, she lives at Meredith's house too. So yeah, it's just weird that she's at Owen's house. But I'm like, oh yeah, they got married and that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, it's not going to last long. Also, the housewarming thing was like very, I don't know what, I guess the point of that was like the Maggie Meredith buffer like situation. But mm-hmm. I freaking hate dudes, like how different. Once Meredith told Riggs, you know, that like Maggie might ask him out, how stupid he got in interacting with her. I'm like, can't you just be a normal person? I was so annoyed. I was like, quit being immature.
Yeah, totally.
Most of what I have to say is about Meredith, about that.
Yeah. Bailey asked Ben to be her mole, and they talk about Hercules Mulligan.
Yes, and love that he says, you can have my whole body, but not my eyes and ears. I am not your mole. And then Richard shows up, and he's like, I heard you want to be a mole. And she says, people shut up when you're around. And then he's like, something, he talks about like being able to slip in and out without being noticed, and she turns around, and he's gone. I fucking love Richard.
But also he has like really like ridiculous gossip and drama, and there's like something way bigger going on, and he comes in. She's like, that's not important.
Oh my God. Wait, I have a thing that I had a major problem with in this episode. I mean, it's not that major. Okay. Amelia and Owen, really quick. They're talking about, she shows up with like their wedding photos, and she's like, we have to pick our favorites. Like the photographer gave us 500 proofs. And he's like, 500? Like that's like so many. And I'm confused. In what day and age are digital photographers giving you 500 proofs and making you only choose your favorites and you don't get to keep all of them? I don't get it. And I had a problem with that. I was like, who gave them that information? It's weird.
Yeah, because you've been doing this for quite a while. This is season 13. That definitely wasn't happening.
No, I've been doing this 10 years. It doesn't make any sense. Like, unless they bought a package that was like, you know, you get to pick 100 of the photos. But I don't understand that for wedding photography, because if the photo exists and it's right there, fucking give it to them. Like, I just do not get it. I'll never understand it. And I have a problem with that writing.
Because,
but that's all.
Because you edited it.
It's right fucking there.
Anyway, yeah, like, because you're giving them a proof, so that doesn't make any sense.
The only thought is if they had a film photographer and the film photographer showed them a contact sheet and hadn't made actual prints of them yet, and they were just picking the ones they were getting printed. But I shoot film too, but you get digital scans. No one is doing contact sheets anymore. So anyways, I just had a problem with that.
I mean, that is your wheelhouse, and I think you are allowed to feel that way, and it was dumb writing, and you should write Grey's Anatomy. Dear Grey's Anatomy.
I also thought that the April Jackson stuff was really cute. Like, mm-hmm. I think April did a great job of, like, or the actress, like, I really do think that, like, that hormonal emotions of, like, having to stay when your baby gets to go home, and just, like, I just thought it was really cute and like probably very true in her exact reaction. And I thought it was lovely how gentle Jackson was being about it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think he was pushing any buttons, and I feel it's like just nice to see them co-parenting, I guess.
Yeah. And that like, who was it? Was it Ben? Was it Owen? Was it Richard? Who was it? That told like, I think it was Richard. Yeah, that told Jackson to like maybe push a little bit more with April and then like and allow her like to lean on him for help, you know?
Yeah.
I think he was like holding Harriet, and like Jackson was just kind of like stressed out about how stressed out April was. And that's when he was like, I've been thinking about it. The next scene was like, and you should come live with us or whatever. Which I think Jackson needed to hear that. And, you know, April was like really against it, but he was like, I understand you need boundaries. Like, this isn't forever, but like, you're going to need help. And like, Harriet is our child. And I think he was really just coming from a place of like, I love Harriet. I love you as Harriet's mother. And like, we need to get you healthy into a place. And I have the space and ability to do that for you, you know? So
He even has a part when she's like, how will I afford like a nanny? He's like, I'm loaded and I'm her father. Yeah. Like, I just love whenever he references his large, copious amounts of money. And like when she hangs up on the FaceTime call and she's like, goodbye. Like, I just feel like that's so realistic to just like when you're crying because you don't even know why. And like your hormones are all over the board. I'm just happy they have a healthy baby, really.
Did you notice, did you feel like that scene where she sings lasted forever? I was like, oh, we're singing the whole song. Like,
just gotta have faith. And then it switched into like a Sleeping at Last version of that song, which I'm like, good God, do they cover every fucking song in the world?
Yeah, I think they do.
They really do.
And there was one scene, this is just a random note, where Harriet's, when Jackson is home with Harriet and they're like FaceTiming or whatever. Harriet's onesie is inside out, which I don't know if that was an accident
or on purpose. Funny.
To show that, like, but you could see like the tag on the outside.
Oh, that's really funny. I love that.
Yeah.
I also loved when Catherine was like, you're naming it Catherine? Yeah, and then how like April was making her feel like Avery was not going to be in the name at all. And Jackson's like, no, mom, we're hyphenating. And she's like, well, you could have said that. And yeah. I just loved her whole speech about what Kepners mean and do. And just like, also yeah, when she's
Kepners
like, Harriet,
are good people.
Yeah. When she's like, Harriet, you know, like Tubman or whatever. Then she's like, and the spy. Yeah. I thought that was a really great moment. Isn't Harriet a biblical name too? Isn't there a Harriet?
I don't think so, but I could be very wrong about that. Yeah, Kepner means good people, tireless work ethic, and like if you need a pig, you come to us.
Yes, I love when they bring up her farm background.
Yeah. I do like too that she's like, you can tell she's a little panicky about like, I can hold my baby, let me hold my baby. And Catherine kind of is like, you need to heal, like sleep for an hour. You have your whole life to hold her. Like grandma can hold her for an hour. And I think that did calm April down a little bit that like Catherine wasn't there to like steal away her baby. She was just like, I love her. And like, you should rest. And someone who loves her will be here to like hold her and take care of her, you know?
Yes, I agree. Although I feel like if I'm crying and I'm like, give me my baby, someone better fucking give me my baby.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's probably true as well.
Harriet Kepner Avery. I just love also The Spy. I had that VHS. It was orange because it was Nickelodeon. I also did the thing where I wrote, like drew the little like robot picture that they draw on their foot and then they press their heels together with their friends. I always did that with my friend Ashley. I freaking loved that movie. So much.
I do not remember. I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember it. So,
so good.
Maybe we'll watch it sometime.
We should. It's, I have the VHS, I'm sure.
Do we have anything else?
Most of what I have is about Meredith and Riggs,
which we'll talk about in post-op.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm interested to see how many more episodes this goes on for and how it all culminates. I feel like we also need to pay attention to Stephanie as this is her last season. She didn't have much airtime in this, but yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, notes and trivia.
This episode's title originated from the song, wanna alternate by the way?
Yeah.
From the song Undo, originally sung by the 1975.
The episode scored 8.75 million viewers.
The table read took place on July 22nd, 2016.
Okay, so that was 2016 and the digital prints.
Yeah, fuck prints that. Thing. I'm not okay That's with it.
Filming for the episode started on August 1st, 2016 and finished August 11th of 2016.
This is the first season premiere of the show in which a main cast member is credited but doesn't appear.
Oh, I wonder who that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Who didn't appear? Arizona?
Oh, isn't she gone? Oh, no. Yeah, probably her.
This is only the second time in the show's history that both the writer and director were the same in the previous season finale and the current season premiere. The first time was with season 4 finale, Freedom Part 2, and season 5 premiere, Dream a Little Dream of Me Part 1. Both written and directed by Shonda Rhimes and Rob Korn, respectively.
There are stills from the episode of April and Jackson holding Harriet, but the scene wasn't in the aired episode.
This is the first instance of a series regular's actor name not appearing in the opening credits when their character has no appearance. Jessica Capshaw's name does not appear on the episode's opening credits while she's still a part of the main cast.
Goof. Maggie says she will call Andrew's mother, who is at work, but we later learn Andrew's mother is dead. Oh my God.
No, dude, I had that as a note. I forgot about that. I wrote that note and I was like, when Maggie says, like, I know his mom, and I was like, wait, I thought his mom was dead, but then I couldn't remember if there was like an episode where she died and we like saw the funeral. Yeah. Okay. So I had that note. I feel proud of myself.
Wow.
Goof. Catherine claims that April is too weak to hold her baby, yet she held her baby in the previous episode.
Goof. Alex is wearing a necktie in a jail cell. Ties and belts are always confiscated from prisoners to prevent suicide by hanging.
That is true. Mm-hmm. This episode's title originated from the song Catastrophe and the Cure, originally composed by Explosions in the Sky.
I love that song. Or I love that band. The episode scored 8.41 million viewers.
The table read for the episode took place on August 8th, 2016.
And Goof, in the scene where Jackson grabs Harriet's carrier, she is awake. In the following scene with him going out of the room, she is asleep. That's not a goof.
She might have just fallen asleep that fast.
Yeah, what the fuck?
She just fell asleep. Whatever.
Okay, Catherine Fox Award. Ugh. I feel like I want to give it to Jackson or April. Like,
I was going to say Jackson for like offering like... for April to come live with him. I would also maybe give it to Richard for his speech to Joe, and then also his speech to Jackson.
Yes.
And then also being Bailey's eyes and ears. Like, he's just being like kind mole. Of a staple. Yeah, just being a staple in this episode.
Yep. Rating it, I'm going to give it a 6.5 out of 10. It, like, the epic, or like, it just, I don't know. I don't know if it's because I've seen it already, but it didn't do a lot for me.
You know what? I'm right there with you. It didn't do that much for me. So I'll do 6.5. You know what? Actually, I'm going to do 6. Great. Yeah, I'm going to take it down to 0.5 because I really didn't care about it. So please rate and review the episode. If you are a $10 patron, don't turn off the podcast. When we call Time of Death, we will have a couple extra minutes where we're going to talk about Meredith and Riggs. And we're so happy we're back. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yeah, we love you guys. Bree, would you like to call Time of Death?
That's funny. I just asked you that, but I'll do it. Sure.
Wait, I didn't hear it. It, like, my thing jumped out. I didn't hear it.
It was totally fine. Time of Death is 1930.
Beep. Beep.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.